broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know where that's at? It's right after 1 Corinthians. I just thought I'd be helpful like that. Let's go to the first chapter. That's like right in the very first part of 2 Corinthians. How many of you know I'm feeling a little ornery today? I'll try to behave myself. Hallelujah. Say, Heavenly Father, I open my eyes, my mind, my heart to your word. Speak to me what you want me to hear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to preface before we get into the Word of God that no one asked me to preach this besides Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this to anyone who's listening to me today that you don't feel like you have God's grace and you don't feel like you have God's peace in your life. Grace and peace from God only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not believing in Him alone that makes the difference. It's belonging to Him that makes the difference. Amen. And if you need grace and peace, there's nothing that would ever keep Him from accepting you if you'll come. Every hindrance has been removed. Someone may be hearing me and you're bound up by an addiction. I went to the mailbox a week before last. And I received a letter from a man in Bakersfield, California that said, every time I listen to your radio program, the Lord just speaks to me what I need to hear, but especially this morning. He was so moved that he took the time to handwrite a full-page letter telling me about a circumstance that he was going through and just simply asking for prayer. I was so moved by his response that I wrote him a full-page handwritten letter. The point that I want to make is this. Someone may be listening and say, grace and peace? Really? Not my life. How many agree with me it can be? How many of you been in a place in your life where grace and peace seemed the furthest thing from where you were living at that moment? But when you surrendered, did you have to straighten up and fly right and come all the way home? Or did you just have to surrender and give up control? Because for me, I felt like I was a long ways away and my life was a big bag of garbage. But all it took for grace and peace to come flooding into my life was complete and total surrender. Not, God, I want you to fix this, but leave my personal life out of it. That doesn't work. God says, you want me to fix your life, let me fix you. Because you're trying to fix everything yourself, and you're trying to control things, and you're trying to manipulate things, you're trying to do it all without me. How many know with Christ I can do all things? And what did Jesus say in John 15? Without me you can do nothing. And I proved it. So grace and peace be to you from God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him there is no grace and peace. Don't try to find it somewhere else. Don't try to get peace in your life by you trying to fix the problems. It's not going to work. More than likely, you're going to make it worse. How many believe I should not try to do brain surgery on myself? Come on. We try to operate on ourselves in the spiritual realm, fixing spiritual problems with carnal philosophies. It doesn't work. So it only comes through Jesus. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. I'm going to tell you, God loves you. Compassion means to be encircled with love. God's got you surrounded. You better as well come out with your hands up. Because you're surrounded by the compassion of God. He is the God of all comfort who comforts us in what? All our troubles. Well, I thought if I had God in my life, I wouldn't have no troubles. Well, you thought wrong. I'm preaching the whole gospel. He comforts us in all our troubles. Why, God, why do I got to have troubles? Without troubles, you don't know what comfort looks like. Without troubles, you don't know what it is to be comforted. But listen to me. When I say comforted, some people get the wrong idea. They think I said comfortable. That's not the same thing. If you were comfortable, you wouldn't need to be comforted. Amen. Right now, every one of you in this room is being comforted because you're all sat down. Even if you were sitting on the floor would be comforting you. To be comforted means to be upheld. You're being upheld. You don't have to exert any effort whatsoever to sit like that, do you? But me without the chair up here, I'm like, whoa. How many know I couldn't do that very long and I'd be falling all over myself? It kind of hurts too because I did some roofing this week and that hurt. Then I went hiking with my grandkids and I think I'm a teenager too and I'm not. Well, I am, but you know, just maybe four times over with a little change left over anyway. But if I don't have the comforter, the chair in your case, what strength do I have to use to stay like my strength? So here's how it's going to be. Either you're going to be the strength or he's going to be the strength, but it ain't going to be both of you. If God is your co-pilot, switch seats. Come on. I like that bumper sticker. I do. I get where they're going. I mean, don't go anywhere without God. Make sure God is your co-pilot. I'm like, you can do it that way if you want to, but I'd rather be his co-pilot. And he's the navigator too. I'm the aggravator. He's the navigator. Hallelujah. God is a God of compassion and he is a God of comfort and he comforts us in our troubles, all of them, big and small. For what reason? So that we can comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. If I never received it, I sure can't give it to you. And my troubles might not be exactly like your troubles, but the same comfort that helps me and keeps me and upholds me in my troubles is exactly the same comfort that's going to uphold you and keep you in your troubles. You see, I don't have any tattoos, and I've never done drugs. But I can't tell you, I can't even begin to remember how many people that I've helped find a relationship with Jesus who have tattoos here, there, and everywhere and have done all kinds of drugs because it doesn't matter. Because see, my marks of sin were all invisible to your eyes, but they were still there. I was still marked by sin no matter what until Jesus redeemed me and brought me into his family. And listen, if I didn't have a past, this is fresh, this is coming right now. If I didn't have a past, I wouldn't know him in my present, and I wouldn't have a future. I'm going to say it one more time if I can. If I didn't have a past, I wouldn't know him in my present, and I wouldn't have a future. I'm going to go back to our old church motto. My future is not determined by my past, but how I respond to God when today. Not yesterday, that's over. See, oh boy, I responded to God yesterday and it was wonderful. You better keep responding because you can't live off of that. The old glory days. I'm glad we had the old glory days, but I'm looking for the new glory days. Amen? God comforts us in all of our trouble and he does it so that we can comfort others. But it's not us who does the comforting. It's him. And when I say him, and I'm talking about the Father, and I'm talking about Jesus, who is the him that represents them here now? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. The Greek word paraclete or parakletos, whichever one version you want to look at, it means one who's called alongside to help, but it's not alongside just to watch you fall. Literally taking hold of you that if you stumble and falter, he's right there. Yesterday we were hiking and I had my grandsons with me. Now listen, Crystal's boys, Caden got long legs, Tyler's got long legs, and Tyler, he thinks he's part mountain goat. I think he is. I'm pretty sure. He got it from his Nana. Not really. She plays it safe. She knows, you know, straight is the path that leads to life. She knows. Not up the mountain. But little Lincoln, he's 6. Well, he's pretty sure he can keep up with 15-year-old Tyler, who happens to be approaching 6 foot tall. Good grief. Them Flintstone vitamins work good today, don't they, Caden? Caden's like, yeah. Caden can almost dunk it if his hands would just grow. And I'm not talking about the same thing I dunk. Not donuts. But little Lincoln, he thought, boy, he could just go wherever they went. So you know what I did? I'm pretty good at it myself, but I just took him right up that mountain, right following those bigger boys, and we just went over them rocks and whatever, and then Tyler would help him, and then Caden would help him, and I mean, Lincoln could do better than all of us put together, couldn't he, Caden? There at the end, we were going, we were we were at the Quartz Mountain down here, and we were going from one rock to another. They said it was their obstacle course, so I had to go try it too. I could do it pretty much as good as they could, but I couldn't do it as good as Lincoln. Remember, Lincoln's six, about yay tall. He's better than all of us. Because here's how Lincoln would do it. He'd just go, and whoever happened to be holding on to him at the time, they would just help him top from one rock to the other rock, to the other rock. And I mean, that boy could, he could go from like this rock right here to this rock right here to that rock right there. I mean, he'd never miss a step. He had good comforter. Someone holding him up, holding on to him, giving him strength that he did not possess, helping him to do what he could not do. And because of his helper, he was able to do more than he could have ever done on his own. There's no way he could have done that on his own. I want to say to you today, listen, quit trying to do it on your own. If you keep jumping from that rock to this rock and you're only making it far enough to hit your hard head on this one, I realize some of you could break rocks with that head. I'm talking to me now. Ouch, that hurt. But quit. You don't have to got this. God says, let me help you. Let me literally carry you. You see, I would love for you to carry me. Listen, you don't get help from this rock to that rock only when you choose it. If he's going to be your comforter, he's going to be your comforter 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Then he's going to be your comforter. Crisis Christianity is not good Christianity. Foxhole faith is not good faith. It still works. Thank you, Jesus. Because when I was in that foxhole of my life, he brought me out. But if I don't want to continually wind up back in the hole, I need consistency. Hallelujah.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Oh, this is good. I better share this. Jesus referred to the coming Holy Spirit as the Comforter. He said, if I don't go away, in John's Gospel, he said, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. Right? Here's, maybe you've heard this, but wherever the Holy Spirit is manifested, he comes to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I'll let you chew on that a minute. He comes to comfort the afflicted. If you're surrendered to him and you got pain in your life, he's there to comfort you. But if you think you got this and you're comfortable and you're complacent and apathetic and lethargic, I use those words on purpose, he will afflict you. In other words, God loves you so much that he will not allow you to have great success without him being involved in it. You can have temporary success, but not lasting success if God's not involved in it. And for people that think, if I could only achieve this goal, if I could grab that brass ring, I'd have it all. If that's truly just them striving for that, when they grab that brass ring, they're going to be so disillusioned, most of them, that they're going to fall completely apart. Because any success that is not God-centered, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-centered, is not truly success at all. It's failure. Jesus said it this way. He said, what would it profit a man, do you know it, to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? The answer is it wouldn't profit him at all. So I got to be careful what I'm striving for. What are you investing in? So I'm investing in gold right now. It's like, That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your financial investments. I'm talking about the greatest investment that you're ever going to make at all. And that's the investment of you. You were given life for a purpose. And that purpose was for you to give it back so that he could multiply it, press it down, shake it together, run it over, and give it back to you again. And then what are you going to do with that abundant life he gives you? I'm going to keep giving it back. And what's going to keep happening? He's going to keep giving it back more abundantly. And I'm going to keep doing what with it? Keep giving it back to him. How many of you know that's the way to live? Not I got enough taste of religion to get me past this crisis. I went to church and got me a Band-Aid, put on my boo-boo. I'm good to go. I don't need to go back for several. I don't need to go back till Mother's Day, praise the Lord. I used to be a Mother's Day, Easter Christian. Now I only go to church on the days that end in Y. Jesus is good. The Holy Spirit will afflict you if you're comfortable. If you've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, that means he gets the Lord over you. And he's going to upset your apple cart if your apple cart's a little too self-sufficient. Amen. Keep reading. He said, we receive this comfort so that we can comfort those that are in trouble with comfort we ourselves. Verse 5. We received the comfort from God. So now here we go. For just as the suffering of Christ flows over into our lives, so also Christ, our comfort, overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort. How many know it's always not about you? You see that? Amen. Paul goes, if I'm distressed, it's about you, about your comfort. And if I'm comforted, it's about you. You know the most unhappy way to live in the world? Live self-centered. Have you ever had a time in your life? I'm confessing. I've had a time in my life, short seasons. There was a season before Jesus when that was the whole book, man. That was me. That was his. It's all about me. That was before Jesus. But after Jesus even, there have been times where there was these little brief moments where something's going on and I just think, you know what? I just need what I need right now. I'm not really that dramatic. I'm just playing it up for you. But there have been times where I just decided, you know what? I just deserve a break. I just deserve a vacation. I just deserve a big, giant chocolate malt. I just deserve whatever. And you know what? I remember one day I was on a good low-carb diet a couple, 3 years ago, you know, doing great, man. One day I got upset. I drove to Sonic. They don't have anything low-carb at Sonic except for water. They have water. And I went to Sonic and I ordered me a foot-long chili cheese coney, you know, and I ordered a chocolate shake, a big and large onion rings. I hadn't been eating that stuff for a while. Man, I ate every bit of it, feeling as pity, sorry for myself as I could feel. I just indulged that old flesh, boy. I just gave that old flesh what it wanted. Oh, boy. How many know what I felt like after that? Yeah. Garbage in. Yeah. You know, if I eat garbage, Crystal, I feel like garbage. She got a magnet on her refrigerator that says that. I should have read it yesterday. I drank a pop yesterday for the first time. I drank a can of Pepsi for the first time. That's why I'm wound up. Not really. I shouldn't be wound up because I didn't sleep very good last night at all. Remember my testimony if you were here last week about, you know, not ever missing church because I'm sick? Never one time in 30 years. I got tested on that. Because I ate bad yesterday. When I took the kids hiking, we had a campfire. We did hot dogs. We took some hot links, too. So I had two hot link hot dogs and one regular hot dog with chili and cheese and chips. And then I came home and I wanted something to just kind of wash out. So there was Pepsis there. I was going to get me one of my San Pellegrino waters that don't have sugar in them and, you know, kind of get that fizzy. But I didn't have one cold, so I grabbed a Pepsi. It's okay to think he is stupid. It's okay. Don't say it. Just think it, okay? Because I have feelings. You know, the dentist put them in for me. I drank a Pepsi right before bed. Even pastors do dumb stuff. I got in bed, man, I couldn't sleep. I went to sleep and then I woke up. And my body was hurting. How many know sugar causes inflammation? If you got bad problems with your body hurting, cut the sugar out. You might find out that'll help. Man, I was hurting. My elbow hurt. My ankle hurt. My legs hurt. My back hurt. Sharon woke up. She goes, "What's up?" And I said, "I hurt." She goes, "Where at?" I said, "My ankle, my knee, my elbow, my back, my lower back, my upper back." She goes, "I can't rub all that." I told her, "I don't think it would help anyway, because I'm pretty sure it has everything to do with what I put in." And I just had to ride it out. And then I woke up this morning after not getting, I missed several hours of my precious sleep. I'm one of them people that need lots of sleep. And I missed out on several precious hours of that sleep. And man, I woke up this morning. That alarm went off at dark 30 this morning, as it does every Sunday morning. And man, I was like, I wanted to throw that phone across the room. I did not want to get out of bed. I need something here, boy. I am hurting. And not only was I exhausted, tired, and thought, it can't possibly be 6:30 yet. Because, I mean, I know for some of you all that's sleeping in, but for me, that's getting up pretty early. So I get up 6:30 on Sunday mornings and go take a 15-minute shower and get dressed. The shower and the dress is 15 minutes for me. Some of us are just born beautiful. I can't help it. But anyway, I'm glad you laughed. But I get around quick and try to get in study and just get quiet before the Lord and see what He wants me to jump on y'all about, you know. He tends to start with me, and then I take it out on y'all. But when I woke up, man, I was exhausted, and my stomach just hurt. I told Sharon, I said, it feels like something between I'm absolutely starving, craving, hungry, and bloated. It was painful. And then just pain, especially in this left area, right? Boy, just pain. When I did that, it would just hurt. Some of y'all might be more medically astute than me and go, "Oh, you had this going on." I know what I had. Stupidity is what I had, right? It's like giving in to the flesh. The flesh don't care how much pain it puts you in. The flesh don't care where you're going when you die, because it ain't going with you. So the flesh will always lead you the wrong way. And I woke up this morning, and I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If I was looking for excuses, I had a pretty good one, because I was exhausted, and my stomach just literally just hurt. And I just sucked it up, got dressed, and it was hard. It was hard to even put my socks on. And I got dressed and went on about my business and went to my study and began studying. And when I opened the Word of God up, I'm not making this up. When I opened the Word of God up and began to get into the Word of God, I forgot all about my stomach. And then I came to church and we came in here and started having worship, early worship that starts at 9 a.m. I come in here and we started having worship and I forgot all about it. And I feel wonderful. I ain't drinking no Pepsi today, though. Then I'm not eating any hot dogs either. So God comforted me in all my troubles. And I'm comforting you in that trouble. See, I had tummy trouble. And see, I'm sharing that with you, and I'm sharing with you what I did that caused it. It was really literally my own fault. But God didn't leave me like that. He said, "No, but you digested it. It wasn't God, brother. You just digested it." Who created me to digest it? See, I get irritated with people who want to try to take God out of everything. I'm putting God in it. He is my comforter. And I'm saying to you today that I'm standing before you whole and feeling good, full of energy and vigor, because God is my comforter. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Him of God, is my comforter. And He's your comforter. He's not a preacher's comforter. He's a person who has faith in Jesus' comforter. Did you hear that? He's not a preacher's comforter. He's a person who has faith in Jesus as comforter. And you have faith in Jesus, or you wouldn't be listening to me. Amen. Verse 8. We're going to conclude. "We do not want you to be uninformed," the King James says ignorant. "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships that we suffered in the province of Asia." You ever be tempted to take the bull by the horns? If you don't know what that means, you're probably not tempted. Man, in case I just muddied up the water and you don't get the message today, God says quit taking the bull by the horns. Quit trying to do it yourself. Make room for me, God says. Make room for me to comfort you so that you'll know I'm with you. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? If you'd quit trying to fix everything, you'd know exactly where He was at. That was for me. God, why aren't you doing this? He goes, "Your hands are in my way. You ever try to do something and someone else won't take their hands off of it? You can't do it until they decide to let you. I don't care what it is. Little kids could be trying to tie their shoes. You're not going to be able to tie their shoes for them or with them until they surrender to your help. Amen. This is for me. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships that we suffered. Who did? Paul, Timothy. Here's how he describes it. He goes, we were under great pressure. This is verse 8. Far beyond our ability to endure it. Far beyond it. So that we despaired even of life. What does that mean? It means I want to die. I'd rather die than be in this any longer. That's what you call suffering. And there are plenty of people in that place today. And Paul was there. And he shares it with us because, and he shares it with the Corinthian church because he said, the same comfort that I received is also your comfort. And I'm sharing it with you so that you can have it also. He said this, we were under great pressure far beyond our own ability to endure so that we had despaired even of life. It seemed hopeless, in other words. Verse 9, indeed in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. We thought we were going to die, but this happened. But this happened for a reason. What reason? That we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He could have stopped. He said, we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Period. End of this verse. But that's not the end of the verse. He said, but on God who raises the dead. He said that because he's saying this. What situation to me and you could seem more hopeless than dead? God doesn't see dead as the end of the book. It's barely more than a comma in the sentence to God. You see, my relationship, my marriage, my job, dead. Is it? Who said? When did God tell you that? My child has run off and they won't have nothing to do with me and I'll never hear from them again. And my relationship with them is over. Who said so? They did. They've said a lot of stuff in their life that they didn't mean because they were talking out of their hurt. You know, don't put too much stock in what people say. There is an illusion, and it is an illusion in our society that you can make it just fine without God. It's not true. But I want to ask a question. Are you in Christ living a surrendered life? If not, the reason you're hearing this is because today is your day, not an accident. And if you're hearing this, you need to respond. You need to send us a text. You need to email us. Let us know. I surrender myself to Jesus today. I want you to pray after me. Father God, I surrender myself, spirit, soul, mind, and body to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are my Lord, personal Lord. I confess you. I believe in my heart. You're the risen Lord, raised from the dead. And your Holy Spirit is invited to live and remain in my life, guiding every step. I give you the control. Thank you for forgiveness and always loving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.